It's a wonderful time. It's a time for us to rejoice. I thank God for His presence. I thank God for the ability to be gathered here. Thank God for the open heavens that we have over us. We do not take it for granted. And as I go into the word today, I believe God has given a word for us. I think last week, Mommy came and declared before us. She said that the tides have changed in favor of the saints of God. How true is it? That it's time for the saints of God to possess the kingdom, because judgment has been given for the saints of God to possess the kingdom. Everybody say, the tides have changed in our favor in Nigeria. Praise the Lord. And it's time for us to possess what? The kingdom. Praise the Lord. The prince of Persia indeed over Nigeria has been what? Dethroned. He has been dethroned. I follow me. It's very important. As I go into the word, you begin to understand why. I begin to see clearly why God gave me this word. Some days ago, God just spoke to me and said, this is what you need to begin to prepare for today. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this atmosphere we have under the covering of our spiritual fathers. Thank you for this place called there. As we go into your word, Father, I strip myself of every confidence that my yet have, my own knowledge, ability to share your word. I place all of my confidence afresh in your mercy, fresh grace, the help of the Holy Spirit to help me, Lord God, to use all these things to bring forth the word in season. As the word goes forth, Lord, it will go forth in clarity, in power, in accuracy, in simplicity, in the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit, doing an internal and entire work in our hearts and life. I also ask that, Lord, as the word goes forth, you cause our wills to become more humble, and minds become more enlightened by revelation knowledge, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. I see grace in sufficient measure, Lord, to bring a word in season. I ask for grace to redeem it and not to say things that are unnecessary. As word goes for yokes and lives broken, need to make glory go to the name of Jesus Christ and blessings unto us, the sons of men. The Holy Spirit, I search of my right hand. Come and have your way. Come and continue to glorify the name of Jesus. Come and testify of Him as we go into the word this morning, this afternoon, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. The title of my message today is Remove Not the Landmark of the Fathers. Let's say that, remove not the landmark of the fathers. It's very important for us to take heed to these instructions. You know, on watch night service, Mommy and Pastor, they brought a word. And Mommy said something. She quoted from the book of Genesis. We're going to go there very soon. 26 verses 15 and 18. Talking about Isaac when he began to dig the wells of his father and name them after the name that his father called the wells. He did not change it. And we'll see the reason and why it is very important at this time we are living in. Praise the Lord. So let's open our Bibles to Proverbs 22, verse 28. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Proverbs 22, verse 28. Remove not the landmark of your fathers. Are we there? Let's begin. Remove not the ancient landmark which the fathers have set. Thy fathers have set. Let's begin. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Very important. Proverbs 23, verse 10. Repeat the same thing again. The mouth of two or three witnesses. Say, remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. You see, once you remove the landmarks, you enter into the field of, who is the fatherless person? Someone that has no inheritance. Then let's open our Bibles. Genesis chapter 36, verses 15 and 18. That Mommy spoke about at the beginning of the year. And Isaac, let's look at, and Isaac digged again the wells of water, which what they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For what? Say, for the Philistines had what? Stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. He did not change the names. Very important. Verse 18? Verse 15, please. Let's see verse 15. It says the same thing. 15. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. That is the present situation we have in the body of Christ today. The Philistines there speaks about the demonic, Satan and all his cohorts. And they have done one thing to the wells that the fathers have dug. They filled it with earth. But you see, the responsibility is on Isaac, his child of promise, to go back and dig those wells. Because if he does not dig those wells, God will never make room for him. Very, very important. Now, Abraham here is a type of the early spiritual fathers that God has raised up. And they have two things they've done, and they're still raising up. They introduce and establish fundamental truths to the body of Christ. Some of them are dead, like we see here. The Bible says, the Philistines filled dwells with earth. And but you see, but in spite of what they have done, in spite of the fact that these early fathers, a type of Abraham, are dead, nothing must happen to those wells. You see, Wigglesworth may not be here. E.W. Kenyon may not be here. All the founding fathers, Papa Egi, might have gone to heaven. But we must not allow the Philistines to stop those wells. It's very, very important for us to understand. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? I already said it. I said that once you remove these ancient landmarks, you go into the field of the fatherless. And that means you do not have a guarantee for your inheritance. Now, what is a landmark in the natural? I'll just read. I checked the dictionary. It is a mark showing the boundaries of a piece of land. That's in the natural. It's all an event marking unique or important historical change, of course, or one on which important developments depend. Or it can also be defined as a conspicuous or prominent object, usually a stone in the Bible, on a land that serves as a guide to a spiritual destination. That's what a landmark is in the natural. It sets boundaries. So you don't live where God has planted you. And apart from that, once he has set boundaries for you, he also points you. He limits you so you can walk directly, you know, to where God wants you to, leading you to your destination. Praise the Lord. So in the natural, that is what landmarks are. And they have one character. They are planted deep in the soil, in the natural. Why? So that you can't remove them easily. So it goes to the extra effort for you to remove them. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? Now, what are spiritual landmarks? Because you see, that scripture we read in Proverbs is talking about landmarks. We're now looking at it from a spiritual point of view. Are you following? We're not talking about a natural land now. We're talking about from a spiritual point of view. Like God told Joshua, he said that you shall divide the land for them for unto an inheritance. And the Bible talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're looking at it from this point of view of what it means when you talk about spiritual landmarks. What are spiritual landmarks? They are the epignosis. Let's say together, they are the epignosis. The what? The why and the how of the how, or fundamental truths of the Christian faith. These are the wells that the fathers have dug. We are going to look at some of them today, and we are going to see the effects that will have on us if we tamper with them or we don't dig them. You see, one thing I want you to see here is that I'll mention later as we continue. It is Satan that is behind all these things that we see as we continue and make it clear. Because the Philistines in the Bible speaks about the demonic. Satan and all his cohorts. So they came against Isaac, the child of promise. Knowing that, look, the only way for survival, you see, you cannot survive without water for long. So they stopped all the wells. So the easiest thing for Isaac to do is to first of all go and start afresh or reinvent the wheel. But no, he went back to those wells. The wells that sustained his father. The wells that sustained his mom. He went back to that well and began to unearth them. Praise the Lord. And from that scripture I read in Proverbs, it says that the landmark that the fathers have set. So we see that it is fathers that set landmarks. Instructors cannot set landmarks. It is fathers that set landmarks. But albeit it is God, I put it here in my notes, that said that landmarks are set by God through the fathers that God has set. It is God walking through them. It's not a man that decides to set a landmark. I found myself that landmarks are fundamental truths that God has given to the body of Christ. So God sets these landmarks through mature spiritual fathers in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Our Bible says that for God has set some, not everybody. And Paul says that you may have many instructors, but you have few fathers. Why? Because it is fathers that set them. And like I said, I put here, I said, what are the landmarks that God has set to these fathers? Pastor has preached about it recently, but just a different title I've given it. I put four here, which are very important. Number one, the three feasts of Israel. Say the three feasts of Israel. Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. You need to have an understanding of those three feasts for you to fulfill your destiny. They are landmarks that God has set. You know, God said in Exodus, he said that three times a year shall your what? Your children appear before me. And he made it a law and a statute for them. That is why you find out that the Lord Jesus Christ could not fulfill his destiny without going through the feasts. His parents used to take him to Jerusalem at the feast of Passover, at the feast of Pentecost, and at Tabernacles. And after his father died, you find him doing the same thing. Why? Because his destiny was hid in the feast of Israel. He would tell disciples, go and go to the upper room and prepare a place for me.
So as he did it, he also carried disciples along. Why? Because his destiny was hid in the feast. Up to the last, when the Bible says that, the Feast of Tabernacles, in that grade of his, what happened? He came secretly, as it were, and went up to the feast. So the same also applies to us. Those are the landmarks that God has set in the body of Christ. The second idea is that the weightier matters of the law, the weightier matters of the law, which is what? Love. If you omit those weightier matters, it is tantamount to removing the landmarks that the fathers have set. And there is no way that such a person can fulfill his destiny. That would not be a portion in Jesus' name. And the third thing I have is the doctrines of Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, we found verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2. Paul was talking, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us what? Go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. When it says living here, it does not mean that you don't do them again. He said, let us move up higher unto perfection. Are you following me? So he said, living. So he begins to mention them. Repentance from dead works, you know, faith toward God, you know, the resurrection and all that, baptism and all that. Praise the Lord. So those are the things. And the fourth thing I have here is this, which is what God by his grace has taught of this house, the seven pillars of wisdom. Let's together. The seven pillars of wisdom. It is a landmark. You see, what is a landmark? It's only fathers that can dig it out. Bible says they are here a little, there a little. It takes a spiritual father to understand. So we'll take this one from here, take another one from here, mix me, bring it together, then I begin to see, oh, it is true. So the spiritual fathers that can do that. So the one of the ones I believe God gave me is seven pillars of wisdom. These are pillars that God has set in the body of Christ, and you dare not remove it. We will not remove them in Jesus' name. It's because the consequences are grievous. So when I'm thinking about what happened, the deliverance that God did for us, you know, I was just thinking there. I discovered that, you see, it's something we need to thank God for. You know why? It's apart from the fact that the word came, God is a very good God. You know what he did for Israel in the natural? The two fasts in the Bible determined the destiny of Israel. Daniel's 21-day fast and Esther's 3-day fast. Inside those 3-day fast, or the 3-day fast and the 21-day fast, was he the destiny of Israel. And I dare say, when they declared the fast some time ago, this fast we are on by the grace of God, we had never gone this way before. 21-day fast, when it was 21 days. And then you find out that it was that fast of Daniel that dethroned the prince of Persia. And it was the fast, 3-day fast of Esther that put the end to Haman. What are we saying? You see, let me tell you something today. Mordecai had been wearing a sackcloth before he told Esther anything. You need to understand that. Mordecai had 3 assignments. Assignment number 1, he passed it to make sure that Ahasuerus, or what is his name, does not die. God understands that death moves upon Ahasuerus. But he saw it and he told the king. So the king did not die. The second assignment he had was to protect Esther, and the third one, and the nation of Israel. Because, you see, for Esther to be next to the king was very important. Because rather than the Shushan Palace, you have Haman and his court, his sons and heirs, a type of the cabal, who are seeking what to do. So when it came to time, Mordecai went to Esther and said, Esther, you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. It's not a time for you to sleep. If you do not speak now, no enlargement will come from somewhere else. So we know what happened. Mordecai stood in his place. He had been wearing sackcloth before the 3-day fast. The Bible says that when Mordecai saw it, he cried out. And he began to walk in the gates of the king. But Esther was unaware. Whether she was pretending, I don't know. But she didn't know what was going on. But you see, our destiny is that we are supposed to rule in the midst of our enemies. You don't need to be in the Shushan Palace to rule. Mordecai was never there. He ruled from outside. When the time came, he said to Esther, Esther, listen to me. Esther said, go and change. I'm not changing my sackcloth. Then Esther says to him, said, go and meet Mordecai and ask him what it was and why it was. They told him. Then the why came in the 3-day fast. When the wife came in 3 days fast, what happened? What is the next thing on our agenda we are facing now? It's time for God to reward the fathers. He has raised in the body of Christ. Because after the fast, what happened? A man comes to the court. And you know what he said? He said, what shall be done for the man that God delights to honor? And the first thing that came out of his mind is, he said, let them take, he didn't say the horse, let them take the king's robe. We're talking about the spirit of that measure. That is the next thing before the church of Christ. If the heart and ear to hear, let him hear. Don't worry about him, man. Our own destiny is this, to rule in the midst of our enemies. We can rule from outside. You don't have to be there. When you learn to rule, that is why he made sure Mordecai's assignment, nothing must happen to the king, nothing must happen to Esther, nothing must happen to the nation of Israel. Nothing must happen. Because anything should happen, what are you telling me? Don't you know what happened in Rwanda? God forbid. The ethnic cleanse, when somebody out of the plane of their president, it must not happen. But see, where we are right now is that God has dethroned the prince of the power over Nigeria. Judgment has been given to favor the saints of God. Praise the Lord. You see, I began to wonder at the beginning of the year when pastor started bringing messages that I believe maybe we knew before, how to learn to walk by faith. Then he began to teach us about, you know, making some intercession for the saints. And I began to think, now it's clear to me. Those foundations must not change. Those landmarks, nothing must happen to them. It's because the Bible says that, I would that you first of all pray for kings, for those authorities, and prayer supplications for kings and for those in authority. Lead a quiet and peaceable life. So Esther qualifies for that. The Bible also says that, for we know not what you pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit then maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So he maketh intercession for the saints. Esther qualifies to be prayed for. Are you following what I'm trying to say? So you see, I began to wonder, why is he bringing walking by faith? Why is not wonder in a negative sense, but like, if you listen, we know this, you were expecting something. No, there's nothing new. We have to reestablish these landmarks that the fathers have said. And that the prayer is one of them. Praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. For you don't know who you what you pray for as you ought to. But as you pray in the spirit, with supplications, with petitions, the Bible says that he maketh intercession for the saints according to God. Ephesians chapter 6 says that, you know, where was Ephesians 6? Okay. 6:18, please. Praying always with all kinds of prayer in the spirit and watching thereunto for all saints. For all saints, all men, whatever. So how are you going to do that if you don't pray all kinds of prayer in the spirit? How can you hinder what Satan wants to do? Like what you try to do when you don't even know that God has given us the key. Praise the Lord. So as we move on, one of the other things I put here again is this. Which talents we're talking about is that the life of God. Say the life of God. You see, this is another foundational truth. A pillar that you cannot do without. I say, with joy shall you draw wells from water from wells of salvation. But you find that most people in the body can't be of, they don't even have an idea of the life of God. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 or so. So whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, whereby by this by partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world. The Bible says that we should fight the good fight of faith. How? Lay hold on the entire life. Many Christians today are fighting without an armor and without ammunition. They don't have a love of God, they don't have a life of God. So how can you fight? Say, fight the good fight of faith. How? Lay hold on eternal life. You put on the armor of love, then you draw life and begin to fire with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. Praise the Lord. So I have two examples here, which I've already mentioned of Lord Jesus Christ, that he never disobeyed. He said, I have not come to destroy law, but to fulfill it. Jesus Christ, the Master, never removed any of the landmark of the fathers. He didn't. He just walked in it. He will go to for the feast. You know, he will keep the law of Moses. You know, he established it. He came to fulfill it. Praise the Lord. For example, I have here again is David. God gave the pattern of the temple to David, not to Solomon. So if Solomon had removed the landmark that the pattern that David gave him, there would have been a temple, but with no glory. There are many temples today without any glory. he disobeyed or did not obey the instructions of his father. I follow what I'm trying to say. So, I also put here, there are certain landmarks that are peculiar to every house. For example, in this house, I can say, 1 hour before is a landmark. You can't stop the 1 hour before. Do you want to try it and see what will happen? So it's a landmark. It's been done. Years gone by. I'm going to continue doing it. Praise the Lord. That's a landmark. You may say, ah, Pastor Deji, but there's no scripture for it. I give you a scripture for it. Open to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 35. Talking about the Rechabites. Their father gave them a commandment. It was a landmark to them. He said, God wanted to test the Rechabites. Comparing them to the children of Israel that have gone astray. Whether they will obey. And what am I talking about? Their landmarks are also peculiar to every house. Verse 2. So it is God, oh? Verse 2. 35, verse 2. Say, go, let's go. Go unto the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them and bring them into the house of the Lord. Into one of the chambers and give them wine to drink. Next verse. Then I took Jahazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of blah, 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 blah. And after, let me just skip some basketball time. Verse 5. And I set before the sons of the house of Rechabites, pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. Many are drinking wine today. Babylon and the church of God. Next verse, verse 6. But they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, not God, but was God who is their father, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Verse 7. Neither shall you build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all of your days you shall dwell in tents. Talking about tabernacles. And will live many days. You know, in Lambert, you are strangers. It was their father that told them. He didn't say, thus said the Lord. For God spoke to the man. And God was going to test it. Just like God will test many things you have been told to do. Pray 1 hour every day in the spirit. I don't have scripture for it. You're already drinking wine in the chamber of the house of God. Yes. 1 hour in the spirit. Watch and pray always. You can give any excuse you want. Pray with going and travel. I don't have to do it all the time. You're just drinking wine. We'll not drink wine in the house of God in Jesus' name. So what are we saying? What is verse 8? Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he has charged us to drink. Us, to drink no wine all our days. We, say our wives, our sons, nor our daughters. So even if you don't drink wine, your wife must not drink wine. Your children, wherever they are, they may not be here, they must not drink wine. They must carry that same commandment wherever they go. So as they carry that commandment wherever they go, the same blessing will come and meet them wherever they are. You must make sure they don't drink wine. Verse 10. Help me to redeem the time, Lord Jesus. 10, please. But we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all the number our Father has commanded us. Now let's move verse 19 because of time. See what God said. 10, verse 19, please. See, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Why? Because they obeyed their father. They did not remove that landmark. Somewhere, if you read earlier, other times, they understand they had to move to Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar came, that same chapter. But they didn't stop. I don't care wherever you are. You may be in London. Maybe in Lagos, I don't care why in Abuja. Don't remove that landmark that the fathers have set. And now every day in tongues we travel. Watch and pray always. Very important. The father started it and God honored it. What are we saying in verse 7? It says, hold fast to instruction, for she is thy life. Now put it there. Who and how are spiritual landmarks moved? I've said that God sets landmarks through fathers that he has set. Now, how are they removed? They are removed by Satan operating through the air and the sin nature a man. So when you begin to stop doing what you have been told to do, it's not about you. Look at that. There's a power in the air making you disobey iniquity. So it's not just you. I put it there. Who was the first person to remove a landmark? Satan. Isaiah 40 said, God has set the boundaries. Say, I will. He wanted to break that boundary. Exalt my throne above the silver. I will be like the Most High. God said, no. No. The landmarks, God has already set it before you. You are not content to be the anointed table that cloth covered. If you just put it there, Isaiah 14, verse 13. As he said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. No! He removed the landmarks that God has set. He wasn't supposed to ascend beyond where God put him. You understand me? Jude chapter 6. Jude verse 6. Jude is one chapter. Verse 6. What does it say? Bible says the angel that left their first estate, they are reserved into darkness. That's what happens when you remove those landmarks. You wander into where you're not supposed to go. So, and the angels who kept not the first estate, but left their own habitation, he are reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So Satan, the first person that removed the landmarks. That's why he's the one that was behind those things when he started disobeying instructions of the fathers. Okay. So I put it there. How does he do it? He does it through, say, nations, bad church leadership, and intruders. Let's look at nations, for example. I just mentioned because of time. Nations, they have legalized same-sex marriage as opposed to marriage defined by God. Man had not failed before God said that landmark. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. God himself said it. On the double priest. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. What does it say? And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Next verse. And the which the Lord God had taken from man, made it the woman. Say, made it the woman. Or does I say, made it the man? This is before the fall of man, no? And brought her unto the man. So God brings the woman to the man. Keep the next verse, not man to man. In those days, you go and drown. God forgive me. I don't want to dance. When you go to parties, if you don't get to dance, you go and dance with a man. Say, I'm doing bone to bone. We will not do bone to bone in the body of Christ in Jesus' name. It's not an abomination. And the rib which God Lord took, and brought him to man. Next verse. Next verse. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and shall be called woman, because she was taken of man. Now, verse 25, because of time. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and there shall be one flesh. Foundational stone by God, landmark, it must not be removed. The father said it, and the son confirmed it. Matthew chapter 19, verse 4. Matthew 19, 4. 19, 4. And he answered, the master talking, and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them what? Male and female. Say it together, boys. Male and female. That's how God made them. The father said it. The son spoke it. In the mouth of two or three witnesses. That is why anytime there is a marriage between a man and a woman, the third person of God, the Spirit of God, comes to join them together. You cannot remove that landmark. They've removed in America. That's why you can see what is going on. They have to bring it back. Or else what you have seen is just the beginning of sorrows. Next verse. Next verse. And said, for this cause, shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife. Man cleave to wife. And they shall, this one shall become one flesh. Next verse, 25. Six. Okay. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man, let no nation, let no human being put asunder. Because under the Old Testament, when you remove the landmarks, you go automatically under a curse. At that time, it was on there. The next thing is bad leadership. Babylon. They do this by omitting the weightier matters of the law. And they have one purpose in mind. We'll see. I just read scriptures to explain it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. All planned for this end time by Satan. What's it? But there were false prophets
also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately, say privately, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Babylon will be destroyed. Mark my word. They will bring in damnable heresies. They begin to say, that's why Paul was very angry. He said, look guys, if you say there's no resurrection, then your faith is vain. He told the Galatians, all foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? He said, if I be justified by the works of the law, then I've made faith of no effect. But there's a purpose behind it. Why these people do what they do. Job 24, verse 2 in Amplified. Once they remove landmarks, they have access to in Amplified. Some remove. Say, some remove. Not like he said some. So there are some that remove the landmarks. The valley take away the flocks and the pasture them, appropriating land and flocks openly. Next verse. They drive away the donkey of the fatherless. They take the widow's ox for a pledge. So why do they remove this landmark? They do it by omitting the waiting mother through their messages. When they do that, they can make merchandise of you. Take your donkey, take your money, take everything. Hosea 5, verse 10. It amplified. Hosea 5, 10. That is what is good. Hosea 5, 10. The princes of Judah are like those who remove what? The landmark. The barrier between right and wrong. I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. They remove the landmarks. So you cannot get this stand between right and wrong and evil again. But God said he's going to do what? He's going to pour his wrath upon them. I didn't say it. God said it. And it will surely come to pass. Then individuals also can remove landmarks. You can do it. Example I just give and mention is Uzziah. His lot was not to burn incense. But he said to go and burn incense. Just 2 Chronicles 6 verse 18. So what happened? The priest came and said, Uzziah, even though you are king, but it does not pertain unto you. This honor does not belong to you to burn incense before. But he felt that because he was a king, he could burn incense. But they have people today in positions of leadership that God didn't call. They've entered where God has not called them to. They started the church God didn't tell them to start. And they're offering up incense. If God will kill the sons of Aaron, definitely Uzziah is going to end up being leprous. You're not supposed to burn incense. Don't do what God didn't tell you to do. Anyway, I put it, I say, so we start moving the landmarks of fathers by committing sins of omission. Pastor has taught us. When you start omitting these written matters of the law, it's a gradual process. You start doing it gradually. Pray with groanings, you don't pray. You are beginning to remove them. Pray 6 times. I'm not talking about when you are practicing and you are falling. That's not what I'm saying. When I'm saying it is not compulsory to do it. Just move the landmark. When the Bible says that who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers, supplications, with strong crying and tears, it's clear in the Bible that you remove that from your prayer life. You are beginning to remove the landmark of the fathers. I put it, I say, why? Why is this message so important? I put there, one, they are set, this landmark are set by God through the fathers to preserve and to protect man from destroying himself and his generation. That's why God put the marriage institution there. God knows that without that landmark there, man will destroy himself and his generation because of sin. The second reason is because to designate and establish boundaries and also point and take us to the fullness of our destiny. In summary, that is the only way we can inherit the glory. God will start from the Reformation. He put one down. Justification by faith. The most high baptism of the Holy Spirit. The most high different things starts establishing. This one. Until finally they go to Kadesh Barnea. So they can process the promised land. Praise the Lord. I put it here, and that's what we shared of us. Once the landmarks are removed, the roaming around in the wilderness will continue. Because you'll be lost. They were wondering, and God said, go you up now. What do you funny? 40 years. 40 years old, not 40 days. 40 years. Let us say that from here to the promised land is from walking from here to, let us say, with Shokoto. Hey, you mean 40 years and God gave you everything you needed, manna, everything. And in 40 years, you cannot walk to Shokoto. Don't you have mind to say? So God was so angry, said, Moses, turn ye up not. 40 years, you are still roaming around the wilderness. Turn ye up not.
You know why it's so important? Revelation 22 verse 18. Once you move those landmarks, you lose your compass. You lose a sense of direction. And when you start omitting the written master of the law, things that the Father have said that you do, they may not have proof for it, but Paul said, I think I have the Spirit of God. Amen. They may not give you black and white scripture and say, Pastor Ibrahim, I'm telling you to pray 1 hour every day with others on prayer. And say, maybe it's in Jude chapter 10, verse 2. It may not be like that. I feel impressed. First, what's praying? They'll show you the principle in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. This is the end of those that do. We not do just saying, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of a prophecy of his book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Next verse. Next verse. And if any man shall take away from the words of his book of his prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, Passover, out of the holy city, Pentecost, out from the things that are written in this book, Tabernacles. You must not take it away. And the last thing, the third point I have is, I say it is the last days, and some will depart from the faith. So when they got to the edge of the promised land, they were going to depart. Second, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. That we have to take heed to ourselves that nothing takes those landmarks from us. Living by faith, praying with altars of prayer in the Spirit. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some, what? Not all, shall depart from the faith. How? Satan is behind it. Giving it to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Next verse. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron. Next verse. Forbidding to marry. And command to abstain from meat, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe. So we are in the last days. So the enemy has unleashed something in the air. The force of iniquity, lawlessness. That in seducing spirit that try to take you from doing those things you have been told to do. And once you start, will not do it. You remove those landmarks, then you cannot inherit the glory. But we will in Jesus' name. So it's not a message to make us afraid, but just to establish and to redetermine these things that we have been taught. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, I believe. 12. Let's over. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. Say, many shall depart. Says that we are made partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. When the end time. Next verse. Why he said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. No, please go back to verse 12. 12. What does 12 say? Say, take it. That's it. Take it. Brethren, lest there be any of you an evil at all, unbelief in departing from believing God. So the force behind this are seducing spirits that seeks to make people depart. We will not depart in Jesus' name. So what are we saying? Part of the landmarks I said, there's a particular landmarks that God has given every house. And when I was meditating upon it, God brought a scripture to my mind about Abraham. When he's going to get a wife for Isaac. You know what he told him? He called Eliezer. He set a landmark at that point in time. And he said, Eliezer, let's open to Genesis chapter 24, verse 3. Genesis 24, verse 3. 24, 3. Genesis 24, 3. And I will make this swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son or the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. I don't care where you are walking. I don't care where you are in the midst of unbelievers. Or even with Esau's that have lost their birthright. You must not take a wife from the Canaanites. Abraham passed it to Isaac. Genesis 28 verse 1. People are quiet. Are you engaged to Esau? And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughter of Canaan. The landmark that Abraham said. So you must not do it. Thou shalt not. Agbedo. But we see Esau. Genesis chapter 26 verse 34. Esau. He says that, and Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, the Bashma, whatever, and daughter of Elon. He removed that landmark. Yeah, yeah. I think in Genesis chapter 20, verse 35, what does it say? 35. Which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Because you see, they knew what God told Abraham. And they passed it to Isaac. Isaac passed it to them. Hey, do you notice that? The Bible doesn't say that. But in when they got to the house of Bethuel, maybe Esau would have married Leah. And Jacob would have married, what's her name? Rachel. So it's not as if God did not plan. If he had obeyed, there was somebody waiting for Esau. But he missed it big time. That was a grief. We not give our parents in just them. Both natural and spiritual. Genesis chapter 26 verse 34. Genesis 36. 26 verse 34. There's something I wrote down. So when you, okay, verse 35. No, there's a verse I'm looking for. No, 28:1. 28:1. It talks about the same issue. 28:1. I'm not sure I mentioned 28:1. Okay, Isaac blessed this. And verse 3. Verse 3, I think I've mentioned it. He said, arise, go to Padanaram, the house of Bethuel, my mother, and take a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. So the same things were open to both of them, both children, Esau and to Jacob. But one just felt that, look, this one of getting a needle in a haystack, oh my God, before I go to Padanaram, looking for a needle in a haystack, me or she. So you find that, I don't have time, before Isaac, before this guy got married, because he was still working 7 years, this guy married two wives. Yes, he worked for first. Before he got the first one, he said he must work for 7 years. By that time, this guy got one. Before he got the second one, he really wanted. This guy has got the other second one again. Dude, he married about two men in the space of 14 years. So what are we saying? These landmarks that the founding fathers of the faith have set, they must not be removed. Rather, we establish them. And they are spiritual, they're not physical. They are simply the instructions that the fathers have given. And they pass it down from generation to generation. They say, okay, this is how we did it. You don't need to go through this way again. How many of you want to start drawing life, reading the Bible, the whole of no. Why are you wasting your time? Why are you wasting your time? It's like somebody comes and gives you a cell phone and say, no, you want that old phone that they do like this. That is how rotating like this. It's foolish. We are laughing now, but that's what you do when you omit those things they've told you to do. Yes. Somebody gives you something. This is an iPhone, whatever it is. Say this one is this. In no time you come. And then you now say, no, I'm going to go back. That is why the church, the body of Christ, the leadership have done a disservice to the body of Christ. They have not given the body of Christ their weapons that they need. So you find the armies going and being defeated. Like it's happening in Nigeria. You don't give them the right ammunition. They go and face the enemy. Anyway, that's the summary of the message I believe God will have me to share with us today. How then do we make sure that we do not remove the landmark of the fathers? Very simple. One, by staying under the covering of true spiritual fathers. The only reason why Peter, James, and John did not remove those landmarks, of course, they always followed Jesus wherever he went. When he went to the upper room for Passover, they were there. When he went for the feast, they were always with him. So by just associating, being under the right covering, are you following me? You'll find out that you will be able to keep those landmarks. Because there came a time, you know, as Master wanted to establish another landmark when he had the situation. He said, this kind cannot go out except by fasting and praying. That means at that time, Peter, James, and John were not fasting and praying. So he came and said, look, boys, things have changed, Joe. It's time for us to go on a 21-day fast. Or a 3-day fast. Say, this kind you are facing cannot go out except by fasting and praying. But like I said, Mordecai had been wearing sackcloth before he came into that situation. Second thing, by using the blood, the word, and the spirit to strengthen our stakes, these landmarks, through praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. Those are the two things we need to do. Stay under the right covering so as they follow, you follow them. And next, you use the blood and the spirit to strengthen those things, those foundational doctrines, even the teaching of perfection. You reestablish them. You don't remove them. Are you following me? And you do that. Can you do that by the Spirit when you pray all kinds of prayer in the Spirit? Isaiah 54 verse 2 as we begin to close. Isaiah 54 verse 2, what does it say? See? Enlarge the place of my tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and do what? Strengthen what? Thy stakes. Those are the landmarks. God says, it's time for you to strengthen those stakes so they are not removed. Isaiah 33, verse 20. Well, that is the support for the Zion church. Out of which deliverance will come to the nation. Isaiah 33 says, and the people, let's look at, and the people shall be as the burnings of lime. Isaiah 33, verse 20, I said, not 12. Look upon, let's say, look upon Zion, the city of our all our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed. Neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. That is characteristic of Zion. Zion is built on the landmark of the fathers. Now, what David said in the book of Psalms, he said, the old earth is gone out. Because I bear the pillars thereof. Next verse. But there, the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ships pass thereby. So, in summary, what are we saying? God is bringing to us again that these things we have been taught, these instructions, these landmark of the fathers, the ones that we heard about Wigglesworth, the ones about E.W. Kenyon, F.F. Bosworth talked about the life of God. You know, they have all died and gone to heaven. Thank God, like Abraham died. Satan has one plot to try and block them. But you, as a child of promise, you need to begin to dig them out. And then there are other ones that God has given and will yet give us. Why? Because it is on those landmarks, those stakes that Zion will stand. And once we stand with those landmarks, we'll move straight to the promised land, and then God, like he did for Solomon, when he obeyed his father, will fill the house with glory. Praise the Lord. Let's bow down to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's talk to the Lord. Peradventure, we have been omitting these things deliberately. I'm not talking about when we make mistakes. The Bible says that a just man falleth seven times, yet will he stand up. Go walk. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the spirit of unbelief, willful disobedience. That no, I don't believe in praying for 1 hour. No, I'm not talking about when you are trying, I can't make it. That's different. Because what you say something, he said, I will pray 1 hour in the spirit and then to edify myself, then I'll go out and edify the body. That was the secret of his power. The Pauline prayers. These are foundation landmarks that must never be removed. Let's stand to our feet. Glorious things of thee are spoken. Zion. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken, from thee for his own abode. What can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's world surrounded, thou beest my life, O Lord. See the streams of living waters. See the streams of living waters springing from eternal love. Where supply thy sons and daughters?
Where supply thy sons and daughters? And all fear of want removed. Who can faint while such a river ever flows, that swells us with
grace, with the blood,
grace which like the Lord the giver never fails from
me. One more stanza. Round each habitation offering, round it. Round each habitation. Don't you have it?
Round each habitation, oh rain, see the cloud on fire appear.
For a glory and a covering.
For a glory and a covering.
Showing.
Showing that the Lord is near. Thus deriving from above, light by night and shade by day. Save the feet upon the manna which he gives when
we're going to sing that stanza again. It's very prophetic. God has been feeding us with manna, hidden manna, and it's the fathers that give it. And that's what will bring about the glory over every habitation. So let's sing it again before we pray. Round each habitation offering.
Round each habitation offering. See the cloud and fire appear.
For a glory and a covering.
For a glory and a
showing that the Lord is near.
Showing that the Lord is near.
Thus deriving.
Thus deriving. From
a banner. His banner over us is love.
Light by night and shade by day. Save the feet upon the manna.
Let's point out our hearts and raise our hand to heaven. In light of this song and what has come today, the glory indeed is near. God has been feeding us with manna day and night when we pray, with all kinds of prayer. We say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we're clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me not to remove the landmarks of the fathers through rebellion to set spiritual authority and the fundamental teachings of the Christian faith that you have brought my way through them. I receive fresh mercy. I receive fresh grace to hold fast to these instructions by using the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect your love in my life till I become rooted and grounded in love and manifest your glory in Jesus' name. Let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name. Just one more scripture that came to my heart. I mentioned it. The Bible speaks of the Shunammite woman in the book of Songs of Solomon. It said, for the Lord has brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. That is where we are. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let's join hands as we close the service. Before we close, let's remind ourselves at 5 o'clock this evening, we have a GMT Good Morning Jesus prayers, and then 6 o'clock for the GMT prayers. To 5 to 6, 6 to 7. If you're available and you're so inclined, you can join at 5 o'clock, then join us at 6 o'clock, and we'll close out the fast at 6 p.m. for today. Of course, all the other events will take place. Father, we confess our sins, so we're clean with the blood. Father, we come under the Lord Jesus Christ, under the authority, the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and the authority of our fathers. We come to pray and say, the Lord bless and keep us all. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. The Lord makes us head and not tail. We're above only and not beneath. We're prospering all that we set our hands upon to do. We are at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death, so we shall live and not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and He shows us His salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ, in the name of Jesus. And so the Lord anoints us with the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell me, you remove not the landmarks of the fathers. You do not remove the landmarks of the fathers. Amen. God bless you all.